guess what?
It's tea time. Ooh. We're back.
We have someone at the table who you've seen for so long.
The resume is resume.
You guys, it's epic. So long, and it's so consistent, and it's just bigger and better, and it's also peppered with, like, blockbusters, and I'm going to be 100 non-blockbusters.
And nostalgia.
And like, nostalgia. Yes. And, like, hidden gems for cult classics.
Yes.
Thanks, lady.
Who is it?
Who is it?
Who could it be?
It is...
Oh my God. Wow. I was about to say it's, Lee Bowser.
Wow, you see that? See what happened? Leave it in.
Oh my God.
You leave it in, Raven.
Look, Nicole.
And you know what's so funny? It happens all the time.
I was about to say Yvette Lee
Bowser. I know, but she and I are friends and it happens all the time. There's only, what, 4 Yvettes in the world, apparently?
I was like, who's on this podcast?
I'm so sorry.
Don't you apologize. Leave it in.
And it's also a good person to be confused with.
If I'm going to be confused with anybody. She's one of the reasons I'm acting in LA. So anytime you say the name, I'm just remembering that she's one of the reasons I'm here. Long story, but great story.
Okay, so
Yvette,
for those who...
Nicole Brown is
exactly.
Here today.
Yes,
and
Nicole Brown.
Channeling Lee Bowser as well.
Yes. For those who don't know Yvette Lee Bowser, she was
created,
the creator.
Living single, half and half.
Like, beautiful black woman creator.
Do you remember at D23, just to bring this moment,
let's do
tie it.
It
together.
Bring it.
Do you remember at D23 when Raven was being introduced and the person said, and Ruby, or Rudy.
Oh,
Rudy.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That distracted me.
That's fine. Let Quinn have the moment. Use it all. Quinn is like, Quinn didn't like it. Quinn was like, you better say my mama's name.
Exactly.
But Quinn didn't like
not.
That. But the way you took that moment is the same way I take the moment. Like, first of all, I get called Yvette Lee Bowser. I get called Nicole. Like, it's Yvette Nicole Brown. But I'll say, I'm Yvette Nicole Brown. They go, hi, Nicole. I'm going, okay. So I just go with it. Like, it's, first of all, the person that makes the mistake is mortified.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do is make someone who's mortified feel worse.
Yeah,
mortified.
That's very true.
You know, just go, it's all right. It happens. I've made mistakes. It happens.
It does happen. And names are funny. And pronunciations are funny. Like, my last name, Mayday. Mm-hmm. Everyone who reads it, because it's M-A-D-A-Y, will say Mayday.
Yeah.
And so my whole life, and then I'm like, no. Oh, Mayday, then they misspell it.
Right.
It's just, it's part of being human.
It's what it is.
It is what it is. I have a weird question.
Yes, please, Raven.
Do you ever need to call up Childish Gambino and say, you owe me credit for some lyrics? Because I have a feeling he might have pulled from your brain.
You think so? You know, first of all, I would love to take credit for everything Donald has done. Because Donald is brilliant. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it here because I'm on tea time, and I want to say it here, too. He is the most talented person in every creative endeavor I have ever seen.
Wow.
Be it dancing, writing, he can crochet, he can bake.
Did he make that sweater?
He may have made this sweater. He could. He, you know, stand up, physical comedy, music. He can really do all of it. So I would love to take credit, but no, I've been trying to get him to take me on the road doing background. He has not taken the bait.
Listen,
no.
sir. Listen, sir.
Listen, sir.
We're all available.
Exactly.
We're all weirdos.
We're all here.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Community was one of those shows that really incubated some amazing talent, including yourself and others.
You.
And rarely do we have shows like that on the air. We'll have big hits, but they don't birth massive talents like yourself that continue to work. Out of all of the things you've done, out of all of the content you've created, what's the one you didn't like doing the most?
That's a good question. That I didn't like.
I have a guess.
I mean.
Stars selling cars.
Oh my God, you guys. Holy crap. I hate that you know that. I hate, because I feel like there's going to be a cut and we're going to go to it.
No, we don't have to. But
did you see it? Did you see part of it? What it was?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh my God.
I watched the whole damn thing.
I don't even remember what it was. I was at the point where I was in my Sam Jackson phase where I was saying yes to everything because you never know when they're going to stop asking to do stuff. And so I think I did it with Kate Flannery. And the person I sold the car to, I'm still friends with her, Sonora and her son. I'm still friends with them.
You were so cute with them.
Yeah,
we're
still friends.
She was so excited too, and so shocked. And you had that wig on.
Weird,
it was
bad
so...
wig and glasses, and I think it was some khaki pants.
Khaki pants.
I have enjoyed every job I've had because I'm blessed to have it. I'm from Cleveland. I'm not supposed to be doing any of this stuff I'm doing, but there have been a couple of times that I have not enjoyed a couple of the people. I had to do the job with. I do not speak the two names that I will. I pray I never have to work with again. But if you pay enough close attention to me, you'll. I love everybody so much. There's two people whose names I never say. So if you really want to do a deep dive, you can figure out who the rascals are.
Understood.
Fair. We'll do that later. Worked with,
yeah.
We will do that.
What was your time on That's So Raven like?
Oh, my God. There was this really talented young girl.
Yes.
That I had been watching since she was a wee little baby.
Oh.
On the Cosby. Weren't you Rudy?
See, Olivia. Back around.
Yeah, throw it back. Throw it back.
Don't worry, because I haven't seen any of it. I don't even know what That's So Raven is.
Haha, that's not the throwback. But no, she played the amazing Olivia. And I've said this to Raven since I met her. And since I saw her when I was a kid, watching this baby, she can make something funny a thousand different ways. Like most people, mm-hmm. I said this in this panel we did.
Yeah.
Music, sitcom is like music. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da-da. You can hear it. When you read it, if it's written well, you can hear the song. And usually most of us can sing it in one beautiful, it's going to be beautiful, but it's one way. Raven can sing the comedy song five or six different ways. And that is a skill that
you
just can't. And even if you go to a set and you watch someone work and they say, let's do another take, 9 out of 10, they're going to do that joke the exact same way because it got the laugh. Raven will go, nah, I got something else. And she'll throw something else in. So doing Raven was one of the first things I did professionally. And so after being a fan, did you know that?
No.
It was like maybe the third thing I'd ever done. So after being a fan of yours, I just sat on set and like, what can I steal from this child? Oh, what can hilarious. I grab? And I just used to watch you and go, oh, that's how she's doing. I still don't know how you're doing it, but I'm like, the sense of play that you have, the way that you don't take yourself seriously,
all
of that stuff is helpful for anyone doing comedy. Yeah. So that's what I got from you. But that was one of the first things I
After you said that, because you did say that at the D23 panel, it stuck with me.
Yeah.
And we actually talked about it in here.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was so just concise and beautifully said. And I said to you,
prove it.
She did. Because you know what?
She proved it, didn't
and she did. She said, what did I have you say?
The cheese smells...
Yeah, like the cheese tastes weird.
Or like
The cheese tastes weird. And I was like, say it five different ways and make me laugh.
She can.
She did.
She can.
Yeah. It was interesting. Okay, you guys, stop it.
No, but let me say this too. One more thing about it. It takes a certain amount of trust in yourself and trust in your gift and trust that you may not be able to do it. Like most people, the reason they stick with the one way they know is because it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But Raven goes, that worked. Let me see what else may work. And even if it doesn't work, it's fine.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do. And I feel like you have that sense when it comes to life. You are always preaching how important it is to take chances and to trust yourself.
Absolutely.
And you say, what is the word that you said at the panel too? You said, you're of service.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're of service. Mm-hmm. And in a way, comedy is of service to others.
Absolutely.
But please, can you break that down for our listeners? Yeah. Because that thought process is beautiful.
I feel that as we go through life, most people move through life thinking, what can I get, right? Every room they go into, who can I meet to get something? What can I get? What can I take from this experience? And I think your life changes when you walk into rooms going, what can I give?
Mm-hmm.
What can I deposit? When I go places, I think now, especially in my advanced age, I'm there to be something for someone, be it a respite, be it a source of advice, inspiration, a laugh, lighten the load. So I go in a room going, who is the assignment in here? If I'm on a set working for a week, who am I supposed to see? Who am I supposed to talk to? And so it takes all the nervousness away because you're not there for yourself. You're not going there from a place of desperation, wanting people to fill you. You're there to pour out and trust that you will be replenished. Mm-hmm. And every time I've moved into a room or an experience or a job or a relationship, friendship, it from that space, it's always paid dividends I couldn't receive if I had just been there to suck the room dry.
It's so beautiful. You know? That's such a beautiful perspective
and
how to enter into space and how to live your life and what gifts it's probably presented
to
you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
But that comes from a deeper space, doesn't it, for you?
Mm-hmm.
You're a caregiver outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your family and the things that you've been through. It's
like
there's one of my favorite movies. I'm gonna bring it back a while and watch
do
this.
It. Do
one
it.
Of my favorite
cool.
movies
take the
is
journey.
Split.
Yes.
Remember that movie?
Oh, with
Split. What is Split?
Is that what it's called?
With McAvoy, James McAvoy.
Yeah, with James McAvoy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a horror.
I love James McAvoy.
It's horror, psychological thriller.
It's a psychological thriller in Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Have I seen this? Wait a minute.
It came out a long time ago.
Yeah, it's an older one.
It's about a guy with multiple personalities.
Wait, he takes the kids. He hides. I did see it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a brilliant actor, too. That's
brilliant.
A good movie. Yeah.
Brilliant. But the thing that I take from that movie, and I actually, like, say, oh, snap, that's me, is at the...
Not, oh,
the
snap,
one that
that's
takes
me.
The children and... No.
Oh, my God. No. I always listen to the very end where he's like, he saved this one girl because he saw the... challenges right. that she went through in life. Yeah. And there are some people in this industry that we connect to more than others. You right. have two people that you do not name.
Right.
I have multiple people I do not name. But when I look into your eyes yeah. with heart and love, mm-hmm. I say, you've been through some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that grounds you and mm-hmm. makes you grateful for all of Absolutely. The work that you've been through.
Absolutely. And also, listen, I say this all the time. I'm a kid from East Cleveland. I come from a single parent home. We did not have a lot coming up. And I had an uncle who was an actor, Broadway actor, but he was not in a position to help me do anything. So I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to have this career. I'm not supposed to.
Why are you not supposed to be here?
I think because when you look at
statistically,
where, you know, my generation, a little bit before you, baby girl, Black women of a certain size, of a certain color, whatever, we didn't get a chance mm-hmm. at it, you know? And if we got a chance, they let one through at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your Shirley Hemphill, you have your Nell Carter, later on you might get a Queen Latifah. It's one.
Yeah.
One that got through. And so even though we have a good times and a facts of life memories and different strokes, and we saw ourselves in different places, and thankfully for the Cosby Show, in different world, and it got better in the 90s. Thank you, Yvette Lee Bowser, Living Single. But it just... it was bleak for a long time. And so I did not dream. I definitely didn't dream of being a leading lady or an ingenue ever. I knew that if I got in, I would be a character actress and I probably wouldn't get my shot until about 30 or 35. And sure enough, I started around 31, 32 is when it took off for me. So I think commercials at the end of my 20s and then actual television in my 30s. So I didn't dream bigger than, you know, you're in Ohio, you don't know anybody. How are you going to dream of being on Disney Channel? And, you know, I didn't dream like that. So I always laugh and say that I'm pretty much Forrest Gump. I Forrest Gump my way through my entire life and career. And I'm grateful for the tough times. I'm grateful for moving here with a two rolling duffel bags and a place to stay for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the Yvette Lee Bowser story. I had wrote her a letter when I was graduating from college, and because I'd been a fan of her, so she worked on Different World, and we were both AKAs, we were both named Yvette,
oh,
and I was
the
like,
green, there,
yeah,
there's a green and pink,
there's
right,
pink
there.
Right,
yeah,
there.
Right there.
So I said, I'm going to send her a letter and just go, hi, I'm a writer, wasn't a writer yet, lying, I wanted to act, but told her I was a writer, and I said, I'd love to meet you and, you know, maybe get a chance to see what you do, whatever. This is before cell phones. This is when people were still faxing things. Mm. I got a call on a landline from her assistant.
What's that?
Landline. saying, Yvette would like to meet with you October 17th in California. Can you make that meeting? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had no way to get to California. I had no money. I had nothing. But I spent the next 2 months getting everything together. And that's why I was here with two rolling duffel bags and a place to stay for 3 days. Because I was coming for the meeting. Yeah. I was like, I'll figure everything else out after. And she took that meeting, took one look at me, knew that I had lied my way in, but she was kind enough to remember me. And then years later, when I called myself an actor, I did half and half, and she was like, I remember you.
Wow.
She remembered that moment, and we've become friends now, and it's amazing. But it literally was like, I got a meeting.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
You got one shot.
I got one shot. Let me get out there. Let me see what it is. And I've never had to move back. I've never had to sleep in my car.
I never moved back.
I got here and hit the ground running, found a friend from high school's mother had an apartment in Pasadena.
Wow.
And she said, you can sleep on my love seat. Slept on her love seat for 3 months, temping at Motown, catching the bus, and then got my own little room in a house for $300. And then I never went back.
Okay. What's inside the pot?
I'm reaching in?
Yeah.
I'm reaching in. Close my eyes.
You can.
But I'll bring it closer. Oh, okay. She kept the eyes closed. I didn't notice.
Tell us
what we're talking about today on Tea Time.
We are talking about Quinn. This is exciting.
Quinn, what is it? He thinks it's a treat.
Communication.
Ooh.
That's
clearly something we all are into or not.
I suck at communication.
Do you really?
I do.
Does she?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Raven is an avoidant. As an avoidant, she doesn't love to overly communicate.
Okay.
She's very direct. She's mm-hmm. very concise. And she doesn't want to have to analyze, break down,
over-explain. Or tell.
She doesn't want to ask, tell, repeat. She doesn't want to talk.
Like repeating.
Okay.
So there you go.
And you?
Exactly the opposite.
This is why it's a good match, don't you
see
that?
Yeah. But you know what? This is what's interesting about communication. I always thought that I was a really good communicator, mm-hmm. but there is a difference between being articulate, mm-hmm. over talking, mm-hmm. talking just to talk, and communicating.
Ooh, this is very true.
And communicating effectively, which I've had to learn as I've been in relationships, mm-hmm. and this is personally, professionally, yep. friendships, whatever, yep. you have to be an active listener, and you have to also understand the emotional energy and the intent behind a person and mm-hmm. yourself, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that so often I will go to say something and I think I'm saying what I'm thinking, mm-hmm. but I'm not actually speaking the truth of the intention behind my words. Mm. And so
this is true.
It's tricky. Yeah, I think like actually like really good communication is tricky. It's a skill.
Yeah.
And there are things that we can all do to communicate more effectively.
Right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I have that issue with communication. Mine comes from not wanting to overexplain something because I think that the less words gets to the meaning faster. I'll explain it a little bit differently, maybe. I don't overexplain myself because then I start going down rabbit holes that mm-hmm. really aren't a part of what I'm really trying to say.
Right.
So I'm going to say, I'm tired. Instead of, oh, I had a really long day today. I did this, 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 and this, 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 and I'm tired and I want to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. In my head, if I say, I'm tired, period. I'm tired, leave me alone. Right. But in some instances, especially with my partner, I have to make sure that I explain.
Right. But you do also understand that the reason she wants you to explain is because she wants to experience where you are. Like it's I'm tired does tell the story, but are you tired because of racial injustice? Are you tired because you didn't sleep enough last night? Are you tired because you were stuck in traffic?
Yeah.
She can love you differently based on why you're tired.
And 1,000%. I never had that growing up. No one cared why I was tired.
See?
If I said I'm tired and no one cared.
Right.
So having someone ask me these questions, it feels a little invasive even though I know that it's because she cares.
And let me ask you this. When you were a kid and no one cared, how did that feel? Horrible.
I mean, I'm used to it.
So. Well, you're used to it.
She
but how did it feel the first time you realized, holy shit.
I was too young to remember.
Right. I know you use that a lot. But listen to what I'm saying to you. Somewhere within your body, you know that that felt horrible and you don't want to feel that. So you're not trusting her with your tired because you're afraid she's not going to give a shit when she actually does. So now this is your opportunity to get that love and care and comfort that you should have had as a baby. You have now been given a partner that wants to love you through that now. So it's going to be hard for you to break through that and to fight through that. But you had circumstances and maybe people around you that you couldn't trust before with all of it. But what I know about you is that you're a big old beating heart. You're just full of love and gooiness.
I do give that to others.
I know you do. But
I just
I'm
don't
saying,
accept it for myself.
Yeah. And how sad is that? What a beautiful gift it is to be loved and to have someone see your gooey little center and you see it in everyone else. What a gift it would be to allow her and others to get that out of you and you get to be that. So this is the thing. What I'm learning in my newly, you know, soon to be married self is that he is my safe space for all the shit that was not safe enough before.
Yes.
Right. So anybody that didn't get me before, didn't love me, didn't understand me, thought I was goofy, whatever, weirdo, whatever the stuff was, I can give that to Tony. I trust Tony. So you now have your person that's going to love you through the stuff that you didn't get. And that's what's beautiful about having the person.
Thank
you.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, just wow. Second of all, such wisdom.
Thank you, baby. I'm old. I'm very old.
No. But you're obviously a good mm-hmm. communicator.
Thank you.
When you were speaking about feeling safe with Tony, though, it reminded me of this thing that I heard, which is it's easier to be in a bad relationship than be in a good one.
Wow.
Because in a good one, you're required to do everything that you just said.
Absolutely.
And required is maybe not the right word, but you guys get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
for successful.
Or to go to that level of depth where you really can surrender and say, I'm going to trust this person with all my stuff and have the space to work through things, to heal and to explore and to then hold space for another person is such an honor. And to have
It's an honor.
And to have that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. We don't often get that opportunity mm-mm. with people because we do keep ourselves pretty masked or surfacey. Yeah. But to really go there, and it usually happens in our intimate relationships, is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Is so beautiful. So what is communication like for you?
You know, I'm an open book. So, and I'm the opposite of you. I over explain myself all the time because
sisters.
Because in my mind, my thought is, I don't want you to misconstrue anything. And right. And I want you to understand that, because if I say I'm tired, like this is the other thing. A lot of us say we're tired just because we don't want to be bothered. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know, basically is code for leave me alone. Right. I don't ever want Tony to think that I'm tired of him or I'm tired of us or I'm tired because of something I said. I want him to understand this is the day I've had, babe. And I'm so sorry I don't have much right now, but give me like 5 minutes. I'm going to go and get myself, you know. So I like to make sure people understand. And if someone invites me somewhere and I can't go, I'll tell them why. Tony's like, you don't need to. And I'm like, I want them to know that it's not just me going, I don't want to come. Like, I got this other thing I said yes to, or I have to take care of my dad. I want them to know I see you. I appreciate you for wanting me to attend whatever it is. And this is why I can't.
You're an empath.
To the core.
That's why I do that too, because I can understand what the person on the receiving end may feel or interpret if I don't. And it has been a double-edged sword for me because sometimes I do just overly explain, especially with Raven. Raven will be like, you said no, you don't want to go. But I'm like, if the person, or I want you to make sure that you understand that I'm saying that I can't go here because I feel really this. And then she's like, oh my God, I don't care. But I'm like, well, babe.
But here's the deal. The reason I don't need your explanation because I'm not, my brain doesn't automatically go to the part of, oh no, negative. Something's wrong with me.
Right.
Oh no, it's about me. I go to the part of, oh, she's going through something. Let me have her go through
something.
Do you know
how beautiful it is that you're there after being a child star though? Like, holy crap. Like, to be able to not think it's you.
Oh, it's
or
never
to not
me.
Like,
but it's also so it's the opposite.
It's
a problem. It's never me.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not. No, you can't. And if it is me, then I can feel it. I can also. I have my own version of an empath and distance. And so if she was like, I don't want to go, I'm racking my brain. Okay, what happened today?
Right.
Oh, I get it. Okay, fine. You don't have to say anything else. And then there'll be some times where I'm like, hey, could you explain more? Mm-hmm. But I'm also very hyper aware throughout the day.
You have a quick processor too.
I have a very quick processor too.
And I had
I'm a little slow.
Oh, see, and I had a conversation with Tony about this too because he's accepted that I process fast. Mm-hmm. And so people that process fast, I think we have this in common. People that process fast are like, spit it out.
Because I'm already there.
I was there on word two. I knew where we were going.
Exactly.
It's done. You know what I mean? And Tony will keep talking and I'll be like, babe, I got it. And he was like, but I want to make sure I got it. So now he's getting to the point where he realizes how fast I process. Mm. But at the same time, he's like, I don't process that fast. So can you cut me some slack?
Has that ever bit you in the butt a little bit? Where you think you know where you're going and then the person is like, go somewhere else and you're like, oh, okay.
Absolutely. It's always a delight and a surprise because usually I'm right. You know, again, because it's like also being an empath, I know the people I'm talking to.
Yeah.
I'm aware of what they're going through. So by the time they start telling me the thing, you know, it's like, I got it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if they're giving me information, I'm very quick with information. Where am I going? When do I need to be there? I got it. Okay, let's go.
It's also something that probably people in our position in the industry have with a director, with multiple people telling you things, with being aware of your surroundings so that you don't hold up production.
You better say it. Those of us that care about holding up production.
Well, drop the mic on that one. But
not everybody cares.
But that's what I feel I've taken from the stage and brought to real life. And she's funny because sometimes she's like, that's not where I was going. And I'm like, okay, finish.
And it was.
That's
what Tony does too. He's like, you don't know what I was going to say. Go and say it. Okay, that was what I was
going to say. It's okay, Tony. Tony, when you need to process, you call me. We'll process together at the same rate.
I love her though because she'll say the exact same thing with different words just so it doesn't sound the same way as me. I'm like, okay, babes, I love you so much.
But you know what? But when we do have those moments, I'll say, you have to allow me my process.
Absolutely.
And you have to just give me the space because that is how I will arrive at that conclusion. Yeah. And then I am a fast learner, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that once I start understanding and I embody whatever it is, because I am intelligent and I'm fast in my own ways, but there are some things that just get muddled in my brain.
Understood.
And mixed messages. I was going to ask both of you this too.
Yeah.
What about communication that isn't from words, right? So we have like our physical communication, and sometimes we have inconsistent communication where somebody this is a big deal, right? Where somebody can say like, okay, I want to do it, but their tone or their body language speaks otherwise. Then what do we do?
Well, then you do what they say, not what they're feeling.
What they're feeling. Well,
Quentin Emil.
No, he's good.
He's fine. Okay.
He's always, oh my God, I love dogs so much.
I think
that there's, you know, as actors too, we understand subtext, right? So you're saying something, but your face or your body is saying something else.
Yeah.
It affects how it comes out of you. I sometimes will check in with Tony and other people. I'd be like, are we good? Like, are you okay with that? Like if they say something that doesn't feel true, their body is saying one thing, but their mouth is saying another. Because this is the other thing about me. Nothing makes me feel worse than if I've hurt someone's feelings. Mm-hmm. If I've done someone dirty, because I never do that intentionally. I know some people go through life like, who can I destroy?
Yeah.
I'm not that person. Yeah. I'm always trying to see who can I help, right? So if I find out that something I said or did hurt someone, it hurts me so bad that I can't apologize quick enough. So I'm always kind of also looking around to see, because I joke a lot. So how did that land? You good?
What is it, baby?
You know, are you okay? Like, did you hear what I said? Or did I say it crazy? So I'll go to Tony and be like, this morning when I said, you know, when you called and I said, blah, 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 what did you think of that? And he'll go, oh, I didn't think anything of it. And I'll be like, okay.
Oh, we're good.
Like, I check in just to be sure if I feel that I step to the left or the right. Because I can see, you said you were okay, but.
Yeah.
It was a single glory tear.
Not glory.
Just that one.
I have this problem where I know that my wife wants to do something. I don't want to do it, but I still say I'll do it.
But then all over her body and her face.
It's like, is it like go somewhere? Is it?
No, just this is, let's just talk generalization.
Yeah.
It's like my wife wants to go, let's do that. My wife wants to go to Erewhon.
Got it.
I don't want to go to Erewhon.
Got it.
But I'll say, yeah, I'll go.
Okay.
And that's difficult for her.
Because this is the deal.
Because the body language says,
yes,
I don't want to be
her around. Eyes, she looks sullen. Her body's down. She's like, yeah, fine. And I'm like, oh, speaking about being a person who doesn't want to inconvenience or hurt.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I'm like, you don't have to come. I just, you know, I get all flustered with that because it's like every ounce of your being is saying you don't want to go, but your words are saying yes. And I have a hard time trusting that.
And then version of it is, I'm doing this because you want me to do it, and I'm going to show up for you. And when I get into the car, I change my mood.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, you do change. Okay.
I do change.
Because I'm going to say, this is what I'll say. When you say, I'm going to Erewhon, do you say, I'm going to Erewhon, or I want you to go to Erewhon with me?
I think I'll
say things. She says, I'm going to Erewhon. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you ask, do you want to come, would you be fine if she doesn't want to come?
100%.
Not all the time.
No. Here's the deal. Not to Erewhon. And I understand where we're going.
Right.
I process this quickly. There are definitely some scenarios where I go into it with the intention of I want Raven with me.
Yeah.
Whether or not she wants to come or not. And therefore, if she doesn't, I'll feel disappointed or some type of way.
Okay. Well, then this is what I think you guys should do. Because what I'm hearing is that if she doesn't want to go and she's physically going to act like she doesn't want to go, you'd rather her not go.
100%.
Okay, so we know that. So you going for her good, if you can't immediately get in that space to go with her, you might as well stay home. So we now know that that's the case, right? But the other thing is what you guys maybe need to, I love that I just turned into a therapy session.
I know, I love this.
The
other thing that you guys may want to institute is a certain amount of times when you're allowed to say, you have to do this one for me. This is the one. I got three a month. I would like to, you make a little ticket.
Yeah.
Sorry, but this one you're coming to, baby. I love you. And you got a smile from the time you put your outfit on and we're going to have a good time.
I like
and
that.
You're allowed to bitch about how much you hated it as soon as we get home. But while we're out, got three.
I like that.
Right? So then you save them. You save them for the things you really, really want her by your side. If Erewhon's not it, don't waste it on Erewhon.
Right. 100%.
You know?
Total agreement.
Yeah. And so
so that's going to go both ways.
Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah. It's a mutual agreement.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and so maybe you can have a three where this is something I absolutely will die if you make me do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know you want me to go here, but I'm telling you, my spirit will atrophy and fall apart if I have to go. And this is, here you go, Precious. I'm sorry. You have to go by.
It's so interesting.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
I love that. And the fact that that's totally different than what I'm used to and just you fight through it. Because you got to do it.
Absolutely.
Because someone says you have to, and it's showing up for that
person.
See,
this is all stuff that this is at your base level, you've always shown up no matter how you felt. And it's funny that you say, by the time I get in the car, I fix my face, because by the time you got on set, you had to fix your face.
Exactly.
Oh, 100%. So it's all coming from that. Yeah. Yeah. So some of this is just chop suing some of the stuff that you've been told you have to do, because you've grown now. You ain't got to do nothing. And also, if someone loves you, they don't want you tortured.
That's the biggest thing.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I have a really hard time feeling like she's not happy, or mm-hmm. she's not enjoying something, or is not finding pleasure in something. And she is so good at masking.
Yeah.
And she's so good at doing what she feels is required of her. Mm. I never want to be a piece of that puzzle. I don't want to be another person that she feels like she has to show up for, despite every ounce of her body being like, I just wanted to chill on the couch all day and not do something. Yeah. You know, because I can
and it's figure in my brain, I go, I love you, and if you want me to do it, I'm going to do
but again,
it.
Yeah, that's
but
the list.
Yeah, but that's for me.
Yeah, but you know what though? I think you're both right, because on the one hand, it is beautiful when your mate shows up for you, even though they don't want to sacrificially. It's wonderful. But also, if you love your mate, you don't want to make them have to do something that they physically do not want to do. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that you both are like, so that's why you have to prioritize those moments. Yeah. Exactly. You know, it can't be Erwan.
Yeah.
It's not worth it for Erwan. But
we worked over Erwan.
Yeah.
No, but that's where it comes down to having really good communication and understanding your partner and being able to say, this is major for me. This is a big one.
Right.
And to me, it's like what keeps popping in my head is like, if I had a doctor's appointment, right? Yeah. Like I've had those doctor's appointments where I'm scared to go, or I used to be really phobic of getting my blood drawn. Yeah. So it's like driving there would be painful for me.
And I can see in your eyes that it is. So so this is one. So we got to say, doctor's appointments, you got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you bring the fun that you bring and take her mind off of it. And that'll be a vacation in the car on the way there. So that's one.
Say it funny five different ways.
Exactly. Five different ways.
You know what I mean?
It's making wonderful.
So, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to know where you really feel like you learned all of these things. Because I know it's life and relationships.
You know, my mom was very wise. Like, may she rest in peace, little Franny. She was very wise, and she was very outward facing. Mm-hmm. But she did this thing that was really wonderful. She was outward facing, but still took care of herself for the most part, right? I'm very outward facing, but have not learned the self-care part of it. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
But my mother always believed that kindness was the way. She has some get back in her though. Like, there's some stories of what she went through when she was dealing with racial issues in the 70s and 60s. She got some get back in her. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, she believed that we're good, that we want good for each other, and that we can be the change that we want to see in the world. And so she instilled that in me and my brother. And, you know, I have always wanted to leave a room better than I came in it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That.
You know, feeling like when you ever break part ways with someone, and you go, oh, I'm gonna miss her. I wish she could stay a little longer.
Yeah.
I want to be the one they wish could stay a little longer, not the one that's like, thank gosh. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You want to, there was this thing in Different World, Dwayne Wayne said this to Whitley. He said, and I always say it wrong, but it was the gist of it is, baby love feels you like bad love drains you like a tub. Good love fills you like good grub, right?
Yes.
So I apply that to every interaction I have. When I separate with someone, am I drained or am I filled? It could be the person at the checkout counter at Ralph's.
Yeah.
How did I feel in this interaction? And I gauge whether there will be another interaction based on how I felt, because I don't have the energy or the time left in my life to be depleted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Unless you are an assignment, I'm going to leave you to it. Pressure, you go on and drain as many people as you want over there. And over here, we're going to uplift and we're going to fill and we're going to, you know,
do
what we can.
So many energy vampires out there, too.
So many. And blaming others for their choices that have wrecked their own lives. I can't. We can't do that.
Yeah, no.
And it's no surprise that you feel that way, because all of the work that you've done, it shines through the screen. Like,
oh,
you can tell those big, big stars, those big empaths that do get on the screen. Mm-hmm. You're like, I want to keep watching you, which is why you keep getting hired.
Thank you.
You are a part of one of my favorite cartoons.
Which one?
Oh, my God.
Which one is it?
The best one ever.
Which one?
The
Inside Out.
Yeah, Inside Out.
Wasn't it great?
I need to talk to you about
Let's do it.
And also, now knowing that you're such an empath, it's like, of course she'd be in the best feeling movie ever.
The movie is so, it literally has changed lives.
Oh my God, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. I just want you guys to go and really do a deep dive on Yvette and all of the important content that has changed your life that you didn't even know was changing your life at the time.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely thank love you, you.
Baby. That's why I was saying you. With your resume, even the nostalgic hits like That's So Raven and Drake mm-hmm. and Josh, you yeah. know, shows that really like impacted people and people yeah. are still talking about it. But yeah, Inside Out. That's...
Now, how the fuck did you get into Pixar movie? how do I do that?
Let me tell you something. She's been out here trying for a minute. I believe you, Disney legend. You have not been in a Pixar.
They don't call me a Disney legend.
I can't believe she's not a cartoon all the time.
I call you that. I appreciate you are a Disney legend.
Thank you.
I just can't believe she's not a cartoon on the regular, but this voice.
I'm kind of thinking they don't know that you want to do it. I'm asking about
you.
How I did it? Well, this is funny. Let me tell you something about me. I speak loudly and continually about the things that I want to do publicly.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm.
And I will literally say, I want to be in a Pixar film. I want to be, I've listed, I don't know how many things. I speak about it, speak about it, speak about it. And I had been talking about it so much. I was doing D23 one year. And you know that big green room they keep us yeah. all in, right? The heads of Pixar were in there. And I had been talking about Pixar movie for so long. My manager was like, damn it, we're going over and you're going to meet them. So she took me over, introduced me to everyone. And I was like, I would really love to be in a Pixar film if there's ever. I was like, anything. I could be a little rodent in the corner. I could whatever. It doesn't have to be a big role. I'd love to be in a Pixar film. And then maybe 6 months later, they were doing Inside Out 2. And they were like, would you like to be the coach?
Yes.
And I was like, yes. I would love to be the coach. So it literally was like the squeaky wheel getting oil. So all you got to do is just say, you saying it here now that you want to do it is enough for you.
It's interesting because that does work. I don't want to be in it. I did back in the day.
Yeah.
I want to direct. I want to produce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's true. When you start speaking it and when you believe it and you want it, the universe allows itself
absolutely.
To reconstruct.
Absolutely.
To give you exactly what you ask for.
And also they don't. People like you, they're assuming you're working all the time and that there's no space for it. Yeah. So they're not, when they don't see you somewhere, they're thinking you're on a set because something's going to come out that you're doing. So they don't know that they could get you.
That's very true.
So you have to, you know, put it out there.
What new things are up in your docket that we need to know about?
One of the things I'm happiest about is I have a podcast about caregiving called Squeezed. And it's about, it's for people that are caregivers now, will be caregivers later, will be caregivees later, or those that are doing both. There's people in the sandwich generation who are caring for parents and caring for kids at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so we talk to everyone. We talk to a death doula. We talk to a woman that has a school for at-risk kids. We talk to a single dad who's raising triplets in New York. And we hit it from every single area and angle. And it's like a warm hug to caregivers. I've been a caregiver for 11 years, and it's a very quiet, solo, lonely experience a lot of times. And not so much with my family and friends, they're supportive, but you don't feel like anybody else understands exactly what you're going through. And so there's all these little tiny islands all over the world taking care of people sacrificially and feeling like nobody else is there. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that Squeeze is something they can turn on and they can hear these stories of other caregivers and ideas about what we're hoping will come. And I think it's going to be great. And
why'd you name it Squeeze?
Well, it's because you're squeezed. You're kind of in the middle. You've got the pressure of what you're taking care of from the people that raised you, taking care of people that are coming up that you're raising, and you're kind of stuck in the middle also trying to have a life at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm caring for my dad and planning a wedding and trying to get Kamala Harris and Tim Walz elected. And you feel this...
You're squeezed.
You're squeezed.
Yeah, you're at capacity.
Yeah, you feel like you're at capacity.
And how do you show up, you know, as yourself in all those
places? Yeah, in all those spaces and make sure everybody's okay.
So for you, for somebody who said that she has a little bit of a problem with self-care, how do you take time for yourself and how do you show up?
I have not figured it out. Lego, building Lego is one thing I do. Is this something we have in common?
Yeah, very much
so. Is this something we have in common? This is how I knew. Have I not known that you and I were this?
Oh,
I about to love. Go down. Isn't it? You have them in this house.
I have. Awesome. Yes, we have one.
We are going to.
I need to do more.
Lego party.
I'm so serious.
I'm going to send you so many pictures. If you knew how into Lego I am, anytime, baby, bring. I got a Lego set in my car right now that I'm taking to sit with. I'm going to sit with my dad when I leave you guys. I'm taking my Lego set and I'm going to build my Lego while I'm sitting with my dad.
Done and done!
Did you see the Legos at D23, back to D23? Yes, but those dresses were amazing. The princess dresses. Oh my gosh. Let's
do it. This is the thing about Lego for those that don't know. I talked myself into a hot flash. Talking about Lego. Lord, I'm having a hot flash. I'm so excited.
Hilarious.
The thing about Lego, I really loved it when I was a kid. We couldn't afford them when I was a kid. But when my mother, mother passed, when I was in Ireland, I was doing Disenchanted and couldn't get back when she passed. I started building Lego and it just took my mind off of life. It literally allows you to get into the zone. You can focus on it. And then when you're done, you have, you know.
Have you ever needle pointed?
I don't know. I was going to bring that up. I don't. I just bought a little ladybug needle point at the airport.
Start.
I don't know how to start it.
Like, oh, we can show you.
I want it to be colored by numbers. Like, I wish it. There's nothing on the little circle to show you where you start.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about it because Lego, needle pointing.
Jigsaw puzzle, same.
Jigsaw puzzles.
See, I knew needle point was my next thing. I just literally bought it. It just didn't.
My mom is an avid needle pointer. Okay. And you can make the most beautiful, I mean, pillows or shoes, you know, tapestries, whatever it is. Yeah, shoes, babes. But my mom has been needle pointing for forever, and then Raven got into it with my mom, and then when she did a show,
I did a holiday show,
okay. And she was needle pointing on set the entire time. Like, it was the cutest thing. But I kind of got into it too.
And you can travel with it, obviously, right. Unlike a Lego. When my brother passed,
well, unlike you, if you're traveling on planes, you can't take your needles on.
Oh,
but
not even needle point needles. Aren't
they small? No. They're like that's real, even more dangerous.
Yeah, they're real needles. So those get taken.
But
please don't.
When my brother passed, he was a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he played video games all the time. So I built a Mario ? Square that opens up through all of the different levels.
I
still haven't figured out how to like insulate it so I can put him inside of it, but I'm hold his ashes inside of it.
There has to be a way. They have a little square in the middle, right?
It's an open space, but I'm gonna have to probably resin the bottom so the ashes don't leave.
And or you'll have to just have a container with the ashes
and then put
them
the container.
That's probably the safest. No, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a lot.
No, but just you just take a little bit.
We'll take him to
GameStop. You know what I mean? We'll sprinkle him on GameStop.
My brother's last words. I need to go to GameStop.
You know what?
Can you imagine?
Make his dream come true.
That was his heaven, GameStop. He was transitioning over. That was so
sweet. Sorry,
I
went crazy.
No, it's great.
I haven't gotten into Legos, but if I were to get into Legos, I would like to start with something Harry Potter.
You have a treasure trove.
I know.
There's so much. I will say this though, when you start, don't be too ambitious when you start. I was like, I'm doing R2-D2. R2-D2 is like one of the most difficult builds. I don't know if it's because I started it so early, but it's a very difficult build. So you want to start with something that's beautiful but easy. So maybe a 700 pieces, 500 pieces.
Oh, yeah. Something colorful. Something also, colorful. It's not all the same.
I'll start from like 0 to 2.
Yeah, get one of the small boxes. But it's so cathartic. It's amazing.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm going to do it. We're going to have a Lego party, you guys.
I love it.
I would love it.
Let's do it. Let's toast.
Toasting.
I didn't get you. Okay. Today we are toasting to a gentleman named Tim Bush.
Okay.
And Tim lives in London.
Okay.
And his wife, Philippa, she passed away from breast cancer. But as she was transitioning and living at home, she would look out the window and she would look at the hedges. And she would always say that she wished the hedges were cut into shapes. And she was telling Tim one day to make this hedge into a cat. But instead, Tim went out and he turned it into a train. But after she passed away, and, you know, remembering his wife, he started trimming the hedges of all the neighbors in the neighborhood. And so he has made the cats since Philippa passed. He's made, you know, bodies and like still figures and whatever. And I'll show you guys images of it. But I want to toast to Tim.
Tim, well done.
He made a fish.
Making your wife's dream come true and knowing that she's watching.
How do
the
neighbors feel about it?
Right? Where did the article go? They're very happy. Oh, good. Yes.
Okay.
And they're so grateful. Okay, look. Here's the cat.
Oh, look at the kitty.
Oh, that's cute. He's good.
He's actually very good.
Well, his last name is Hedge.
And look, this is a
lady. Oh, it's a lady. That's Henry, a Botticelli
body. Henry Moore. He modeled it after. That's his fish.
Oh, he's great. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim, this is great.
This is what I love about people in other countries.
Yeah.
They really do
care for their neighbor.
Care for their neighbor. Yeah. Care for their people in their family, whether it's the elderly, whether it's a passing. I feel like sometimes, and yes, we care for ours as well, but there's just a little bit extra that they go through. And that story is so inspiring. Babes,
absolutely.
When you pass or I pass, What do we want to do and leave to the world?
Well,
what would you want me to do for the world when if you go before me?
If I go before you, I want you to plant purple sweet potato bushes all around the town and name them Miranda. And the big signs just say, this is a Miranda. Buy plots of land and name it Miranda.
This is growing.
Yeah,
this
right?
is growing.
This is growing. Raven is like, I'm for sure dying
this,
first.
This has levels.
What would you do? What would you like to leave
What would
behind?
You want Tony to do?
Gosh. You know what? I was just thinking about ladybugs. Like, you know how excited people get when they find a ladybug?
Yeah.
I want you to release some ladybugs for me somewhere. Aww. Like someplace where somebody needs a little bit of luck to land on them. Some ladybugs.
I love that. What would you do to commemorate Tony?
Oof. You know, I probably would take a cooking class to commemorate Tony. Tony's a really great cook.
Oh, should I test this?
Yeah, you should.
Oh
you should.
He's coming over for food
and Legos. Come over and do Legos. But yeah, like I think I probably would take a really good cooking class for him and cook him a wonderful meal.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, in honor. Or cook a meal in honor of him, rather.
Well, I would like for people to take my ashes around all of the fruit vineyards and things and sprinkle me around so as people drink wine. I'm getting you toast. I'm trying to get you toast.
I would like want to put you in something and launch you into space.
No, it's about what I want, not what you want to do.
No, I know, but I'm saying I think I would do that for you and be like, there, go. I would take you to like the Northern Lights and like launch you.
I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't want that either. I don't want to be in the North.
You guys don't want to be launched?
No.
Okay, well.
No.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I know she hates heights. I wouldn't launch you, babes. I would like heights.
No, I want to be.
Anyway. I just feel like you would love space.
I do love space, but I want my
How
ashes.
How do I get you up there?
She's going to put you up there.
I won't.
We're launching Raven on Tuesday. Don't do it, Miranda. She has her water.
We have to die at the same time. That's the conclusion we've gotten to. Well, you are an absolute delight. You will for sure have
Lego and dinner.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
I would love
And you've made this space greater.
Yes. Yay. Much greater, much lighter. Thank you so much for blessing us with you.
Thank you.
It's great.
You.